in Perek Dalet, I believe it's, let me just check, it's Pasuk Vav. It says, Ushmartim vasisam, kihi chachmaschem uvienaschem. One has to learn and internalize, and of course one has to observe the mitzvot. And why? Because this is your wisdom, this is your understanding, le'enei ha'amim, v'gomer. In other words, what? It's not just for you internally, but it's for the nations as well. Asher yishmu unes kol achukim ha'ela, v'amru, what will they say? Rak am chacham v'navon ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. It's a nation of wisdom, it's a nation of an understanding, it's an incredible nation that they want to learn from. So when it comes to the notion that we have to internalize, we have to perfect, and we have to observe the mitzvos, because this is our wisdom, this is our understanding in the eyes of the people. So that's on two levels. One is by teaching the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the essential fundamentals of ethics and morals, and why it leads to a more perfected, a healthier human being, a healthier society. That's on one level. We are the Kohanim. Mamleches Kohanim v'goy kadosh, as it said at Har Sinai. And that's our job, to be the role models. Our task was and still is to teach the Torah to mankind, to influence the non-Jewish world, to redeem it from an orgiastic way of living, from cruelty and insensitivity, to arouse in mankind a sense of justice and fairness. In a word, we are to teach the world the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach that are binding on every human being. But it's more than that, the Rav said. We also play the role of a message carrier and a mentor, not only with the seven universal mitzvot, which of course are macro categories. In fact, there was not the famous Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, but there was a Dr. Aaron Lichtenstein at NYU. His PhD showed that 62 of the mitzvos are really subcategories of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, meaning an observant Gentile, a ethical monotheistic Gentile, would be observing 62 of the Taryag Mitzvos. That's just an aside. But as well, we have an obligation to show the world a total outlook on life, the entire moral system to which Jews are committed. The non-Jewish world is expected to take note of the Torah life we lead, to admire our ways, our customs, our mores, our mishpatim and chukim, both those which are rational and those which are non-rational commandments. The Jews must stand out in society as exemplars. Our way of life must impress and attract people, and it has to fascinate their curiosity. The Jew must always bear witness to his peculiar relationship with Hashem, with God. This principle underlies the commandment of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of the divine name, and as well the prohibition of Chilul Hashem, the desecration of the divine name. Matan Torah initiated the messianic process of redeeming the world from its crudity and profanity. The Torah was given to the Jew, who was told to disseminate the word of Hashem among the pagans, atheists, agnostics, and hedonists, thereby bringing them to their maker. It is a piecemeal, slow movement, but ultimately will be consummated in the Imos HaMashiach. The next psukim say, so what is this Goy Gadol, right? We have to be a Goy Gadol le'enei ha'amim. So the psukim say there's two things that make up a Goy Gadol. Ki mi Goy Gadol, who is a great nation, asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. It's a nation we call the doctrine of Hashgacha Pratis, the doctrine of specific providence, that when we in prayer sincerely reach out to Hashem, that when we use tefillah as a transformative, as a life-changing experience to perfect ourselves, to improve ourselves, to humble ourselves, that Hashem responds. So he said the following. A great nation is a prayerful nation, a nation that davens, a nation that knows the secret of prayer. This is also true of individuals. A great person knows the secret of prayer. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were great because they were acquainted with prayer. When it says in Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avram, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. What does the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis say? It says that's why we say in the Amidah prayer, Elokei Avraham, and we say Magen Avraham. He knew, what is a Goy Gadol? It doesn't mean a great nation. It means a nation that has the ability of transforming themselves, of perfecting themselves in their relationship with God through tefillah. Prayer represents first humility. The insolent person does not know what tefillah is. The very foundation of tefillah is self-negation and surrender. To quote Tehillim Kuf Chav Gimel, Pasuk Beis, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. The person that davens must experience complete dependence upon Hashem, with whom he intercedes. The main element of prayer is supplication, not him. An insolent people is not a great people. And secondly, prayer represents a strong sense of sympathy and involvement in the misery and distress of one's fellow man. There is no prayer for the I if the thou is excluded. Of course, that's why we always daven b'lashon rabim. We're not just it's not self-centered. We're not considering only ourselves. We're focused on the other. By its nature, prayer encompasses others, everyone. A great nation consists of many praying individuals who feel the other's pain, who suffer in community and pray in community. What's the second Goy Gadol? The next pasuk. Umi Goy Gadol, asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim k'chol hator hazos. Which great nation is it that has these kinds of statutes and ordinances as this entire Torah? A Goy Gadol also distinguishes itself in the area of righteousness. The people as a whole, as well as the individuals who comprise it, they possess a developed sense of and a fine sensitivity to justice, to mishpat. Instinctively, they cannot tolerate evil. They hate discriminatory policies and chicanery. If a nation is emotionally capable of approving injustice, it cannot lay claim to greatness. No matter how powerful it is, militarily, economically, or however ingenious it is in matters of science and technology, real greatness is found in the innate quality of fairness and righteousness. Tzedek u'mishpat. In the spontaneous indignation whenever one is confronted with hypocrisy and selfishness. So the two components of being a Goy Gadol is the ability to daven and to understand tefillah and relate to Hashem with all its sense of humility and all its sense of caring for the other and sensitivity to the other, as well as a nation that has chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim k'chol ha-Torah hazos, a nation that has that righteous indignation, a nation that innately abhors immorality and unethical behavior. The next idea and the last idea for this week that we're going to share from the Rav is the following. It says in our Parsha, Ve'eschem, Moshe says to the people, you, lakach ad Hashem, v'yotzi eschem mikur habarzel mimitzrayim. Hashem extricated us from the kur habarzel, the iron cauldron. It's called the iron cauldron. Why is it called that? So there are many pshatim in that. But we're going to share one from the Rav. Rashi explains that the Kur HaBarzel, the iron cauldron, designates a vessel used for refining gold. The suffering in Egypt apparently was intended to refine and cleanse the Jewish character, to remove the dross of moral impurities and to heighten ethical sensitivity. And this metaphor was echoed by Yeshaya HaNavi in Perek Memchas Pasuk Yud. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have chosen for you the crucible of poverty. The Egyptian exile may thus be viewed as a necessary experience which molded the moral quality of the Jewish people for all time. Whenever the Torah wishes to impress upon us the mitzvah of having rachmanis and empathy and sympathy, compassion for the oppressed in society, it reminds us of our similar helplessness and our lowly status during our bondage in Mitzrayim. The most defenseless elements in society are usually the slaves, are the strangers, are the widows and orphans, and we are repeatedly enjoined by the Torah to be sensitive to their plight, not to pervert the justice of the ger, of the stranger, or an orphan, and you shall not take a widow's garment as security. You shall remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim, and Hashem Elokeinu, the Lord your God, Hashem Elokecha, redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing in terms of how you treat the stranger, how you treat the widow and the orphan. That, of course, is Perek Chaf Dalet from Shmos, Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. The stranger in particular personifies the helpless one who has no family or friends to intercede on his behalf. For this reason, as the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Mem Tesamud Beis, the Torah exhorts us 36 times to treat the ger properly, to treat him kindly. The Egyptian experience may be regarded as the fountainhead and moral inspiration for the teaching of Rachmanis, which is so pervasive in Jewish law. It sharpened the Jews' ethical sensitivity. It sharpened the Jews' moral awareness. The Medrash has Rabbi Nechemia say this explicitly. The Egyptian bondage was of great value for us, since it served to implant with us the quality of Chesed and Rachmanis. That's the Mechilta of the Rashbi, Yud Gimel, Peace Gimel, Yud Gimel, Gimel. Ours is a singularly ethical culture, which expresses itself in a heightened sense in regard to human rights and dignity. Kavod Abrios and social justice are implicit in the Torah concept that man was created B'Tselem Elokim in God's image, which means that everyone is entitled to Kavod Abrios. To this day, even Jews who are alienated from religious practice seem more responsive than Gentiles to causes which affect mankind. There are crimes which come harder to a Jew than to others. This may sound chauvinistic, but is statistically true. Murder and physical violence were unheard of among Jews in the past and are still proportionately rare among those who have any roots in their heritage. The idea is that the experience in Mitzrayim, the Kor HaBarzel, that taught us, that enabled us to do what? To have that profound sensitivity, to the profound empathy to the other. It shaped the nation. It forged the nation into a nation of Balei Chesed and a nation of compassion and a nation that gives to others, a nation of charity, of righteousness, in a nation that does not think that it is better than anyone else on earth, because we were the lowest rung of the caste system in Mitzrayim. It's a nation that can empathize with the downtrodden. That's the experience of the Kor HaBarzel that shaped us as a nation.